Hi, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to our July Action Call. This is Dan, and I'm joined by Lori and Bob. And there's just a few folks on the call right now, but let's go ahead and hear from you and say, you know, hello, good morning, anything you want to say, and let us know if there's anybody else with you. Joan, you want to say hello?
Hi, everybody. I'm in my home. I don't know if any of my team is coming on or not, but I'm here alone.
Okay, great to have you here, Joan. Welcome.
Okay.
I see Ann Abdu is with us. Ann, want to go ahead and, oh, let me re-click that. I want to go ahead and say hello and let us know if other folks are with you, too.
Hello, everyone. I'm by myself today.
Okay, great. Welcome. Ann's in Livonia, Michigan. And I see Sinclair Gallagher is with us from the Aurora area. I want to say hello, Sinclair, and let us know if other folks are with you, too.
No one's sitting with me today. And hi, Ann. I know where Livonia, Michigan is. We just came from there, so that's great.
Oh, great. We've seen so much traffic on the emails of that Aurora group. There's got so much activity going on. It's great to see. I see Terry Mason is with us from the LA area. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Dan. Good morning. How is everybody?
Good morning. I'm well, and the other folks are mostly muted when they're not talking. So I'll just
right.
hope they're well
I
too. Yeah. Is it just you this morning, or are other folks there with you too?
No one's here with me. I think we may have some people dialing in from other places. So, but it's great
okay.
to be here.
Good. Great to have you here. Terrific. Okay. And that's all the folks that I recognize. I can see who this person is. I don't recognize the email address. Is it Josephine?
Yes, that's me.
Hi, welcome. Where are you calling from?
Oakland.
Oakland, okay. Welcome aboard. Is this your first
Thank
call
you.
With us?
No. Elizabeth Charbaum is going to be with us in a few minutes, or she may already be dialed in. She's just in her car coming.
Okay, terrific. Terrific. Well, welcome back then.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. Well, I'm sure folks will be joining us in ones and twos and threes, et cetera, for the next few minutes. But it's now the top of the hour, so let's go ahead and get started. Welcome, everyone, to our July 2015 Peace Alliance Action Call. As most of you know, I think, I'm Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Director, and I'm so glad to have you all here with us. For starters, let me quickly preview the agenda so you'll know what to expect. Soon we're going to hear from our special guest and then have a chance for some discussion, and then we'll have some announcements. We'll hear about grassroots victories from the field, and then we'll have some coaching on July's monthly action. Pretty straightforward. This call will run about 65 minutes, and we are so glad to have you with us. Thank you for spending some of your Saturday with us. I have the privilege of introducing our special guest today. Our special guest will be someone very familiar to many or all of you, our very own Peace Alliance President, Bob Baskin. And let me say, as our volunteers, you folks are really kind of like investors in this company, Peace Alliance as a company. You invest your time and energy, and deeper than that, you invest your hope for a more peaceful, harmonious, safer, more beautiful future. And I think part of what Bob will share will be a kind of investor's report to you, who really are our investors, about how the company is doing overall and what we have been accomplishing largely on your behalf. Bob also knows that you are an action-oriented group. He knows about folks like Cheryl Kaplan, for example, whose team in Gainesville, Florida, have gotten several letters to the editor and op-eds published over the past year, and then persuaded their Tea Party Republican member of the House of Representatives to sign on as a co-sponsor of the Youth Promise Act. So he is prepared and excited, I think, to support you in those kinds of actions. Let me tell you a little bit about Bob that you might not be so familiar with. Having served 6 years as chief of staff for former Congressman Sam Gaydenson of Connecticut, and during that time holding several key positions like minority staff director of the Committee on House Oversight and associate administrator for field operations at the U.S. Small Business Administration and professional staff member on the U.S. Senate Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship, it's really safe to say that Bob has plenty of insights into the workings of Congress, which he will be, I am sure, more than happy to share with you during his talk and during the discussion period afterwards. So please have some questions ready for when it's time to ask questions and have some discussion. Also, as president of the Peace Alliance over the past 3 years, Bob has demonstrated a profound diligence and love, really, for the mission of this organization and its people. So I am more than happy to introduce our president, Bob Baskin.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you, everyone. You know, I really do think of each of you as the real heroes, even of the heroic action team members in our extensive national network. Because if you guys are willing to come out in July, and I'm eager to see what we do in August, I mean, you are truly to be congratulated. It's not the easiest time to get people to stay focused on this, but obviously you understand the importance and the need for perseverance in building peace, because that's what it's going to take, and it's going to be a 24/7 operation in many ways by either encouraging others to understand more about the alternatives that exist, or for that matter, living the peace ourselves and cultivating personal peace. You know, today is really a bit of a role reversal for me, as I'm sure you have perceived. Usually I play the role that Dan just played of introducing our guest speaker and telling them about you and the work that you are doing, and in a sense, then about them and what insights they may be able to provide to you. So today I'm sort of sitting on the other side of the table, so to speak, and I want to cover just a few areas with you today. First, I do want to let you know just how important you and the rest of our grassroots network have been to the cause of peace building and the impact that you have had and is really being demonstrated in a number of ways that I will try to touch upon. And then, since this month's action is to reach out to a congressional office or a town hall meeting or whatever, to let you know a little bit about what some of my experiences have been. Dan indicated that I worked with Congressman Gaydenson, I worked with one of the House committees, and I was over on the Senate side with Senator Kerry, as in addition to being in the Clinton administration at the Small Business Administration. But from those years, I really have been able to understand better some of the more effective ways to reach out to our elected officials and hopefully impact our elected officials. But first, let me start with, you know, the evidence that I believe is becoming clearer every week of the impact that all of you and the rest of our network are having. You know, I think the highlight of where we have come, and it has been a long way in the past 3 years, in many ways is the launch of this Be the Movement initiative, which is really been absolutely terrific. As most of you, I'm sure, know by now, you know, it is centered around these five cornerstones of empowering community peace building and teaching peace in schools and humanizing the justice system and fostering international peace, and then on an individual level, actually cultivating personal peace and living the peace and being the peace. And I can tell you from the emails I get back in, from the calls I get back in, from the indications that many are reaching back out to us to say, please, I want to be involved with this thing, that we have struck a chord. Dan's going to talk about an important anniversary with regard to the initial introduction of the Department of Peace legislation. Clearly, that legislation, and more importantly, the vision embedded in it, is what excited people, inspired people, empowered people to come to a collective effort to try to make a difference in this world and in our society. What became evident over time is that it wasn't enough, to be frank with you, that we needed to broaden out to many existing entities to keep the same vision, but to try to impart actions and education and inspirations that could keep this process going and to make the a difference. We, frankly, as an organization, I think struggled to some degree to try to recapture some of the excitement that was evident with our original push on the Department of Peace. And I believe that we have come close, if not equaled, what I sense will be that kind of inspiration and effort and belief on the part of our grassroots through this Be the Movement. I believe that we have really hit upon something, and one of the major implementations, if you will, of this Be the Movement will be the resurrection of our national conference, which will take place in October, from October 16th to October 20th in Washington, D.C. My understanding, and as I think you all now know, I've been here for 3 years. The organization's been around for 11, but they used to hold, and many of you attended, I'm sure. I know Terry did, and Dan did, and probably Lori did, the annual conferences that used to take place. But after 2009, which was the last one, we had some difficulty with finances and the like that have now, frankly, been part of our past history. I think we have stabilized our organization, and as a result, and certainly because we now have what we believe is a very, very meaningful initiative in Be the Movement, we are holding this October conference in D.C. I hope that each and every one of you and each and every one of your friends and contacts and networks consider coming to Washington. I think it's going to be a fascinating event. I think not only will there be much learning with regard to these cornerstones of peace building, most inspiring will be some of the panelists and speakers and experts that we will have at the conference, and as well relevant to the kinds of work and help that you are all providing, a meaningful amount of training and work on how to do the advocacy, how to do the lobbying. And I know that many of you are already steeped in this learning, but as I learned even at my age, you know, every day can and should be a new learning experience, and hopefully we will impart some even greater tools. And one of the reasons I believe that is possible, even with you being as experienced as you are, is that Sam Daly Harris, who is, if not the, certainly one of the preeminent grassroots advocacy organizing experts in this country, and he is actually he has helped us obviously with building this action team network that's in process, but as well he is going to physically be there and help with the training, and we are very, very excited about that. As you all know, certainly our action team network does continue to grow. I am particularly excited about the training modules that Dan and Lori, with the help of Sam Daly Harris, have designed to make you feel more comfortable, because it's not always comfortable to reach out to your media or your congressional offices or your community leader offices, or to write an op-ed or to write a letter to the editor. So I believe that comfort is an important ingredient in being successful in this regard. But as well, once you do each feel more comfortable, and I guarantee you that you will feel more comfortable after you've done it the first time if you haven't already. But we believe that with that greater comfort comes greater effectiveness. Many of you, if not all of you, are aware that we have a very viable, meaningful Student Peace Alliance component headed by Sally Kaplan, a very dynamic young woman who has been building our own network of student activists. She has used this issue of Abolish the Box, which is an analog of the national Ban the Box campaign. Ban the Box campaign is an effort to remove the stigma right up front unemployment applications that prevent employers from really looking at an individual's full range of attributes and capabilities when looking for a job. The analog to that is on college campuses, where documents and pieces like the common application, the financial aid forms, et cetera, typically have a little box that have to check if you've been in trouble, if you've had student problems, or if you've been in trouble with the law. And right away, you'll see admissions officers and financial aid officers dismissing that application without giving it a fair hearing. Obviously, everybody has a chance to do their due diligence and a responsibility to do their due diligence. But frankly, this just cuts people off right at the beginning. We continue to help you advance, with your help, to advance YPA. As you learned from Jeff Pudlow last month, a new strategy has been developed of having four co-lead sponsors in both the Senate and the House. Perhaps, though, to me, if not the organization, one of the most exciting occurrences has been the recognition that we have received recently from the Oprah Winfrey Network. As some of you know, last Tuesday I was invited to be one of only five leaders to actually speak with Oprah and hundreds of folks who dialed into a national call with her to promote the documentary that she has produced called Belief, that is going to be aired over a seven-day period in October, and it deals with faith and values and belief and cultural cooperation and so on. And though many of these other leaders who were asked to speak and certainly were present in the hundreds that were on this phone call were from the faith-based community, we were able to show how peace building was very much about believing and values and cultural cooperation. And because of our ability to convince the folks who are helping Oprah put together this educational and marketing effort on the documentary, they asked us to be part of this important call, and I just think that is a true indication of and a result of the hard work that each of you do and the rest of our national network. Let me tell you now what it's like when contacting your congressional office. As has been indicated, I've been on the other side of the desk in a meaningful way. But I think, as you have heard me say, those of you who have heard me talk before, the most important phrase that you can use when contacting, whether it be a community office or certainly a congressional office or Senate office, "Hi, I'm your constituent." When you say that, that's your ticket in, because these congressional offices, and I know this from experience, the congressional offices get lots and lots of calls and lots of postcards and lots of letters and lots of emails from people outside their district. They don't pay much attention to those at all. It's from their constituents that they do care, and from about their constituents that they care, and from them they then are more receptive. So since members will be on recess this August, the strategy is for you to contact the closest district office, whether it be for a senator or a member of Congress, and ask to speak to the scheduler. Say that you'd like to meet briefly with the senator or a member when he or she is in the district. And, you know, as a constituent, you feel that if that is all at all possible, it's also reasonable. If the member or the senator is not available in terms of the response that you get back, say that you would like to meet with the staffer to talk about a juvenile justice alternative, YPA, or et cetera, or the other issues that you may be bringing before that particular office. Particularly, each member be it a senator or a congressional member, has a district director that works in a variety of places, most of the time in one of the district offices. So if at all possible, and the district director works in the office near you, the district office near you, and generally there are several district offices, or at least a couple of district offices, even for members, and with a senator, you may find three or four district offices, that if that district director does work out of that office, he or she should be your target. As a constituent, they should be very amenable to having somebody meet with you. At the least, you guys can go in and drop some material off that you tell them you want passed on to the member or the senator. If there's a town hall meeting in your area, you can attend. Anybody who's a constituent, and frankly, some who even aren't, can attend and perhaps be able to ask a question of the member about their support for Youth Promise Act. When you ask your question, since you've got the floor, you may even make a brief statement as part of the question. In other words, you may say, well, you know, Youth Promise Act is a positive, cost-saving alternative to locking up a kid 18 years or younger in a detention center where he or she will learn more bad habits and put themselves in the school-to-prison pipeline, which is not something that we as a society want to do. So you get that statement on. So where do you stand, Congressman so-and-so or Senator so-and-so, and see what they have to say. And if you've done a little bit of legislative research, you can find out if they have in the past been a co-sponsor of the Youth Promise Act or one of the other issues that you are talking about, and that will help you as well understand how potentially amenable they may be to your position. All right, I've gone on for like 15 minutes. I really want to leave time for you to ask any questions you may have, and I will try to be responsive. So with that, let me turn the microphone over to each of you.
So anybody who has a question, thank you, Bob. Anybody who has a question for Bob at this point, please press 1 on your telephone keypad, and I'll be able to see that as a hand going up, and we'll call on you. So any questions for Bob about Peace Alliance activities, about Be the Movement, or about the prospect of having some impact with your senator or House member or their staff in the coming weeks and months, please go ahead and press 1 on your keypad, and I will be happy to call on you. I have a question. Oh, no, never mind. One has just come in, saved by the bell. Let's see. This is a question from Ingrid. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Thank you. Thanks so much. This is the first time I've been on a call, and I just learned about Peace Alliance through a friend of mine, and I just think it's great what you're doing, that you're working on Ban the Box and this youth program. I also went on your website to try to find out a little more about you, and I noticed that last year you had a lobby day in Washington. And one of the topics that was mentioned was Ukraine. I've been working with another group to try to do something to encourage Congress members to opt for diplomacy, to try to put pressure on Kiev to live up to Minsk II. I'm just wondering what your organization said in your lobby day last year and whether you're saying anything this year.
Okay, very good. Thank you for joining us, Ingrid, and thank you for your question. It's very relevant. We did do, since we didn't hold a conference last year, we did have actually, I think, a couple of times where we invite people to come in to learn some material and gain some materials from us about how to approach folks and give them some information about specific areas. This year, as part of the conference, I mean, our conference is going to start Friday night, October 16th. It goes through Saturday and Sunday, but starting on Sunday, we are going to be providing with Sam Daly Harris some particular training. But then our goal is that on Monday and Tuesday, for those who are able to stay, that they actually accompany us up to the Hill to their specific representative or senator and talk about some of these issues. We do participate in a 30-member coalition called the Prevention and Protection Working Group. That is a group of organizations like the UN Foundation, the Holocaust Museum, Friends Committee on National Legislation, Humanity United, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that are trying to collectively infuse peace-building approaches into U.S. foreign policy. We have, in particular, focused on, at the very least, getting some adequate funding for atrocities prevention and for hotspot training that comes either out of the State Department or USAID, whether it be through a component of state called conflict stabilization operations, or through USAID with the Complex Crises Fund. There's now an appropriate setup within the State Department that President Obama established called the Atrocities Prevention Board. It has never been so-called authorized by Congress. We are working hard. He did it by executive order. So we are working hard to get it authorized so that the next president will continue to support the efforts of a group like an Atrocities Prevention Board. I can't recall specifically, Ingrid, what we may have said about the Ukraine particularly. What we do, though, do is constantly urge for peace-building approaches through negotiation, through mediation, through reconciliation, and so on. We will continue to do so. So I hope that at least addresses part of what your concerns are.
Well, part, thank you, but all of these things you've referenced seem a little bit like after-the-fact approaches to already be in conflict, and since you brought up the State Department, it seems like the problem in Ukraine arose when, rather than allowing Ukraine to be an east-west bridge, the European NATO countries made an ultimatum, this or that. And it would be nice to be able to get in at the stage of not delivering ultimatums, having the diplomacy before you create the conflict.
Well, we are very much in support of that. And as a matter of fact, whether it be domestically or internationally, we are very, very strongly talking to folks about prevention as well as intervention. We don't believe that we ought to be as reactive as a country, certainly, as has been the case. I know that that's disconcerting to many folks, including us. We do urge negotiation, but one of the functions of an operation like conflict stabilization operations, or even the Complex Crises Fund, which is an unprogrammed amount of money that when some aid is absolutely critical to avoiding an explosion of conflict, that the USAID group can go in and use those funds without having to go through the whole bureaucratic process. But we are very much in agreement with you and supportive of the need for prevention, and I think we are working and advocating for policies that advance that approach. Dan?
I'd love to hear from anybody else. Thanks, Bob, and thanks, Ingrid, for your questions. Anybody who has a question, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. Meanwhile, I've got one for you, Bob.
Sure.
Do you have any examples from when you were working in Congress of a time when constituents approached the member or approached the staff and had the experience of influencing policy in a powerful way? Any examples come to mind?
Yeah, well, I can give you one example from when I was actually there, because I was there at the time that the ban on assault weapons was passed. And I can even cite some more recent ones. But let me start with the previous one. You know, in 1994, there was a proposal in the House to and then ultimately in the Senate to establish a ban on assault weapons. And frankly, Congressman Gaydenson did not need very much introduction and persuasion. I mean, he was clearly in favor of that common sense approach to banning assault weapons. But what a plethora of input from constituents can provide, even to those who are very much already convinced of the position, it gives the elected official the opportunity to use that kind of input when speaking with colleagues to say, hey, so many constituents contacted my office about the need for an assault weapons ban, and I'd be willing to bet that many constituents in your area as well feel the same way. Come along with me and support this position. I happen to come from Connecticut. Congressman Gaydenson represented the 2nd Congressional District in Connecticut, which was all of eastern Connecticut. We had 53 towns. We have in Connecticut a number of gun manufacturers, Olin, Winchester, I think there was even another one. And they had hired a lobbyist from D.C. to approach us as well as others. And I recall this lobbyist coming in, and as chief of staff, oftentimes I people were asking me what role I played with the congressman, and my response was typically, my role is as shin protector. I was the one who took the first kick before it ever got to the congressman. So I met with this lobbyist, and he was saying that he really felt that you know, hunters and outdoors people and so on really need, you know, this freedom to choose and da 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 da. And I said, really, you know, you think that people, outdoorsmen and hunters, need an assault weapon to go hunting? I said, the only time you'd ever need an assault weapon to go hunting is if you were attacking a herd. Please, I mean, don't be unreasonable. And, of course, the congressman supported the ban. More recently, I think, you know, as constituents speak up on discrimination, on certainly on gay marriages, regardless of how you feel about that particular issue, on choice, regardless of how you feel about that issue. When constituents speak up, you see things happening, and you see policies being established that make more sense. And I think that all of the work that's been done from constituents to educate their members about discrimination, and certainly after this Charleston, South Carolina tragedy, the push to get those really outrageous symbols of slavery in the form of Confederate flags taken down and off of their state flags and so on, that wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for constituents raising their voices and telling their elected officials. And while that was at a state level and at states levels in Mississippi and in South Carolina, certainly, even as recently as last week in Congress, where there was an effort by the majority to sneak in a provision into a bill that was necessary to pass, that Confederate flags could be flown in federal, in national cemeteries and the like, that was stopped, and it was done because of the voice of constituents.
Thank you, Bob. So now we actually do have one or two questions up, but we're out of time for this section. So, Bob, I'll give you the chance if you want to say three or four words just in wrapping up, and then we'll move right along.
I love what you do. We need what you do. Keep up what you're doing.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bob. Thanks so much. So moving along, we're going to be looking at the action sheet for July together. And thanks for folks who had questions. I'm sure Bob would be happy to take questions via email if you want to email him, bob@peacealliance.org. So we'll be looking at the July action sheet in about 10 minutes. So if you haven't already and you have easy computer access right now, please go ahead to the monthly action page on our website. From the home page, it's the red monthly action ribbon on the right. And on that monthly action page, you can download the action sheet for July. And we'll be looking at that again in about 10 minutes and getting some coaching on it. Next item, stats and reporting. These are the statistics that represent your actions, raising public awareness, strengthening cooperation, creating political will for a sea change in the availability of peace-building tools. So here are the stats so far this year and this past month. This year, since January, we have had 6 letters to the editor published, 5 op-ed pieces published, 1 editorial published, 1 radio interview, 4 sit-down meetings with members of Congress or their staff, 4 tabling events, 18 coalition-building meetings, and 5 public presentations. And this past month, we've had 1 letter to the editor published, no op-eds, no editorials, no radio interviews, 1 sit-down meeting with a member of Congress or staff, 2 tabling events, no coalition-building meetings, and 1 presentation. Okay, if you met with a Congress member or their staff this past month or got some earned media or made some significant community contacts that we're not aware of, please let me or Lori know about that. We have reporting tools online. You can report these achievements on our website under the Tools and Education tab. It's Organizing and Action Quick Reference. For anybody who's accomplishing any of these key steps, let us know about it. Also, I want to mention during the past month or so, our teams have been having some great progress in getting trained, in building their strength as groups and getting some additional training, as Bob mentioned, with these team training modules. 5 teams have completed this series of 4 sessions, and in each of these cases, we've seen teams get more and more ready and organized and focused on taking the next steps, really having strategic ideas about where they're going with their members of Congress and how to respond effectively to items in the news. So I encourage all folks who are curious about team training modules to connect with me and or Lori. That's dan@peacealliance.org, Lori, L-O-R-I, @peacealliance.org, and we'll talk about getting you and your local group or your team to get a little bit more advanced training. Bob already mentioned the national conference in D.C., so I won't go on too much about that, but just a reminder, October 16th to 20th will be our national conference in Washington, D.C. We would love to have you with us. There's information on the website where you can sign up at peacealliance.org. Please consider coming and help us to help you make that happen. If you want some support around raising money amongst your friends and family and community to help send you here, we'll be happy to talk with you about some strategies for that. I have a very special announcement today. Today is July 11th, and it's the 14th anniversary of a very special day. 14 years ago today, Congressman Dennis Kucinich first introduced a bill into Congress to create a United States Department of Peace. As many of you are aware, the current version of the bill calls for a cabinet-level U.S. Department of Peace building, and it was introduced in this session and also the last session by Congresswoman Barbara Lee of California. This bill, and it's now H.R. 1111, calls for creation of a new cabinet-level department which would research, articulate, promote, and provide the best available peace-building practices in every sector of society. And also, as Bob mentioned, this bill, for many people in our field, was the galvanizing possibility that really drew us together, believing that our government could and can be a vehicle for promoting the more beloved society that we crave. So on this anniversary, I want to recognize the courageous leadership of Congressman Kucinich and Congresswoman Lee and all the dedicated Peace Alliance volunteers who have made phone calls, written letters, met with congressional staff, walked the halls of Congress, and educated their own communities, and have significantly enhanced the possibilities for growing peace on Earth through their caring and diligent devotion to this work. And I want to specifically also acknowledge a special group of Peace Alliance volunteers, the National Grassroots Department of Peacebuilding Committee. Folks on this committee currently are Ann Kreter, Karen Johnson, Nancy Merritt, Kendra Mann, Deborah Poss, Pat Simon, and Geraldine Stapleton. And I'm sure they would want me to mention that their efforts have been supported by dozens, if not hundreds, of others. This committee formed in 2010, and through their actions, they have really demonstrated the kind of profound and dedicated passion that truly can and does change the world. So happy birthday, Department of Peace legislation, and thanks so much to all of you who have been part of opening up these possibilities to really come into fruition. One last announcement. If you or someone you know may be interested in joining or starting an action team, we host an action team orientation call on the first Thursday of each month at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Folks can register for that call using the link at the top of our action teams page on our website. So feel free to join us if you're new to this or wanting to learn more, or spread the word to friends who might like to jump on board. Again, from the homepage of our website, you can go to the action teams page, and there's a link near the top to register for the next orientation call, which is the first Thursday of the month. Okay, now moving along to some grassroots victories. Let me scan. Good, they're both with us. First, I want to check in with Peggy Hanna, who we haven't heard from in a little while, but has been a steadfast champion in our field. And Peggy, as some of you may remember, our bonus action in June was to do some tabling, and we have a guide for tabling tips that's actually still on the monthly action page. And Peggy has gone out there and taken that to heart and made some hay with it. So, Peggy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great, I can hear you too. Welcome aboard. Will you tell folks about what you experienced?
Well, this isn't our first time for tabling, nor is it our last. We also have three more Saturdays at the local farmers market. But what happens when we do it is we generally have reasons for people to come to the booth, and we do have a nice banner, and now we've got your new banner, so we didn't get that in time for this one. But we have pledge cards for people to sign up, sign up for our local group, sign up for the national group, and then we have a big pot of suckers with a little label, you know, computer label, and it says lick violence, and that's a good draw for bringing the kids to the table. And generally, we only have two people at the table at a time, and it's really relatively easy. The only problem we ever have is trying to figure out how to put the darn canopy up. But some places provide them, and that's easy. But it's a great way to get new members, just to get, you know, the word out that we exist and that what we're doing is important. And we generally, I mean, the two things we push are the Youth Promise Act and the Department of Peace Building. And we just take it from there. A lot of these places are very inexpensive or even free. The farmers market is free. They have a community booth, and we've signed up for three of them.
Awesome. That's awesome. And Peggy has a team there in Springfield, and from this one tabling experience, you've had 19 people sign up. And you say a couple of those email addresses might have been hard to read, but it sounds like at least 15 new folks in your area who signed up to be connected to your network. Is that right?
Yeah, and I want to emphasize, I knew going there, we say print legibly, and we're so busy talking to people, and people sign up, and we're not watching them. Maybe that's why we should have three people at the booth to make sure that they print correctly. And all these people are on our email list, and not all of them are active, but we hope over time they will become active.
Okay. Great. Great, great. And the kind of relationship that you've been building with Congressman and House Speaker John Boehner in your district is so powerful for us, helping build those bridges to have powerful conversations. I want to let people know now Peggy has been talking with me about having enough people in a neighboring district in the city of Dayton that we're just about ready to launch another team in a nearby city. So that could be another group with a neighboring Congress member that can really start to build more of a Ohio Coalition. So this is powerful work. Every little event can translate into votes in Congress and shifts in policy. So we're just so thankful.
Okay, well, thank you. And I know, you know, time is such a problem for everybody, but generally if you work with the people that you know or your family and can get them interested, and that's where you can reach out into other communities too. So we have a group that I think is going to be starting formally in Champaign County as well. So.
Oh, my gosh.
But it can be done.
Awesome. Wonderful, wonderful. Great, encouraging, and practical advice. Talk to you soon, Peggy.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Take care. Have a good weekend. Great, great, great. And next we'd like to hear, many of you are aware that Lori Draper wears several hats around here. Lori is a champion in various contexts. She is on staff as our assistant national field director, and she also continues to lead a volunteer action team in Alaska. And she had another powerful victory this past month, so I want her to tell you about that. Lori?
Thank you, Dan. This past month, I had my second op-ed published in the Alaska Dispatch News. The Alaska Dispatch is our largest statewide daily paper, not large by national standards, has a circulation of about 40,000. But the issue I wrote about, I'd actually been thinking of for quite a while, and there's many other letters that were published on the topic, and I was worrying that the editors would say, well, enough is enough, we've published enough of these. But then I knew that my voice was a different voice than the others that I'd been reading, so I decided to write. Before I did that, I called the editor, and it still amazes me that he answered his phone, and I asked him to remind me about the length of the piece and how to submit it, and that to see if he still had my photo on file that I had submitted before with my other piece. And I think this step is important. I'm starting to feel a bit of a relationship is building here with this editor, and he knows my name now. But my fear of submitting this op-ed was different than the first one. The fears the first time were about calling the editor and worrying if he'd label me a crackpot peacenik, and my fear was being rejected from being published. But this time, I found out instead of worrying about being rejected, I was worrying that it would get published. This event that I was writing about was, the community was hurting about this crime. There were families involved, there were hot tempers, and who was I to butt in with my opinions on the subject? This wasn't a distant war, you know, that I was writing about. It was a hometown issue, and Alaska, for all its geographic size, is really a small state. And I wasn't alone in my fears. My husband was also worried because he knows how sensitive I can be to harsh online voices that can shout back anonymously. But when I wrote the piece, I took great care and tried to put myself in the place of each of the involved parties reading it. And when I sent it to the editor, he emailed me back right away and said to give him 10 days to respond. Because there's lots of other op-eds in the pipeline. So I patiently waited 7 days, 8 days, and finally 9 days, he emailed me back again and said he was going to find a place for my piece. And when it got published in a few days after that, the responses I got were overwhelmingly positive. I received emails from people all around the state thanking me for writing it and asking me about the Peace Alliance. And there was those nasty online comments, too, but I took a friend's advice and I didn't read them. My email was on the piece. If they really wanted to contact me and say who they were, I'm not hard to find. So in the end, I'm really happy and proud that I wrote that op-ed because I feel like I raised some awareness for the cornerstones of peace building, the Peace Alliance, and restorative justice, which was the kind of the basis of the piece.
Thanks, Lori. And thanks for sharing, and thanks for doing that. I wonder, I think people might be interested to know, will you share with folks what the actual incident was that was the basis that you were responding to?
Sure. We had an issue where a young girl, 17 years old, was driving drunk and ran over a bicyclist, a very popular, community-minded bicyclist and killed him. And her sentencing, her plea agreement, she was sentenced to 1 year in prison. And people were calling for her to be sent to prison for a very long time. They felt like the sentence was way too short. And what I wrote about was the power of restorative justice, because it felt to me like what was really happening is that the community didn't feel like they had a voice in the process. The victims and the family of the victims were completely left out of the process. So that was the issue that I was writing about, Dan.
Thank you. So powerful. So I would invite you all to imagine this voice that Lori found the courage to share, reaching 40,000 people. She said the circulation she described as relatively small, but think about 40,000 people who are reading about the possibility that justice could include acknowledging the community's feelings and finding ways to heal the damage in new ways. So I'm just so proud of your work, and thank you. Thanks for sharing it, and thanks for doing that.
Thanks, Dan.
Sure. And I'll take this opportunity also to encourage folks and remind you that letters to the editor and op-eds are something that you can do anytime. We did have an op-ed bonus action 2 months ago, so there's a template on that same monthly action page on our website. You can grab that template and make it your own. You can always run drafts by me or Lori, but anytime something in the newspaper grabs your attention and makes you think, you know, I want to respond to this. I want to let people know that there are practical, positive tools available, that we can respond in a positive way, and that there are actually policies that our government can put into effect to change the availability of these practical tools. Go ahead and do it. I just want to encourage you to go ahead and write whenever you feel like this is time. Have a buddy system. Tell a friend, I'm going to write this letter, and I want you to hold me to it, and then check in with them when it's done. So just wanted to make that pitch to go ahead and do that anytime you feel like it. And for our monthly action, we're asking you to make arrangements to bring this information, this news, and the possibility of policy changes directly to your Congress members in person. Please get a hold of your monthly action sheet if you've got it nearby. We're going to take a look at it together. Is anybody willing to sort of recap for us what this monthly action is? Just sort of, if you've looked at it or you've heard us talking about it, anybody feel like letting us know from looking at the action sheet what we're asking you to do? Can you press 1 on your keypad if you want to sort of share with us what this July action is, what it's about? Looking for a 1. Well, I'll go ahead. I'm going to ask for another volunteer in a moment, but for now I'll go ahead and tell you. The basic idea is we want you to make arrangements for a meeting in August in your home district or nearby. If it's a senator, then they might not have an office in your district. You know, you might have to travel to a nearby city. Then probably your senators won't have an office in a medium-sized or smaller town. You might have to travel to a bigger town. But you want to meet in their in-state office because it's the August recess. And talk with them about your concerns. And our top priority, as usual, is the Youth Promise Act, which has some very exciting traction in the House and is getting ready to be introduced in the Senate any day now. I know I've been saying any week now for a while, but we've got good advice, good information, and it's getting ready to be introduced. So getting in front of your member of Congress is as simple as calling their scheduler and letting them know this is what you'd like to happen. And as Bob said, if you end up talking with a staff member instead of the member, you still have a chance to find where their town hall meetings might be, where you might be able to see them in person at a town hall meeting and ask a question in public, possibly even hand them some materials afterwards. Does anybody have the action sheet in front of them and is willing to read aloud some of it for us? I'll just point out some sections, the first part of the first page. Anybody feel like reading aloud a little bit? Go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. You're willing to read aloud for us. Is it a quiet, shy day in early July? People feel like kicking back with pancakes, don't feel like speaking up. Anybody want to read aloud from the action sheet? Okay, I'll go ahead and read aloud. But I'm going to ask for another volunteer in a few minutes, and I'm going to wait patiently for that volunteer. The action for July is to arrange to meet with legislators or staff in August. Congress is in recess for the month of August, so your two senators and one House member will likely be in their home state for the entire month. This is your chance to have a sit-down meeting with them or their staff and to speak with them in person during town hall-type events promoting their support for the Youth Promise Act, H.R. 2197, Senate bill coming soon. And I mentioned at the bottom, if you are also keen to support other legislation or policy, it is, of course, your choice to do so. You may be more effective with a narrower scope, but it is up to you to find your perfect balance between focus and inclusiveness. So after that, there's some tips on arranging the meeting to confer with your team about your team schedules. Can we aim for the first week in August, the second week in August, and then some preparation and some simple steps. And this is something that a lot of teams have been doing. A lot of individuals and teams have set up meetings. The difference right now is that we're aiming for a chance to speak face-to-face with your actual member of Congress. And you know the difference between talking to somebody through a third person, talking to somebody through their staff member, or leaving messages, compared with talking to someone in person and saying, "Congressman, I want to make sure that you are aware this is a very important issue to me." There's a different kind of connection that happens when you're actually face-to-face with someone and they get a sense of your humanity, your respect for them, and the importance of this issue to you. So we really encourage you to find a way to speak with them face-to-face. What I would love to do next is a quick role play. And it's really simple, a role play of calling the scheduler and seeking to arrange a meeting. It's just an inquiry about the availability, saying who you are, and looking for a time when this could happen. So I would love a volunteer who would just do a quick role play of calling a member of Congress's office, asking for the scheduler, and saying you'd like to meet with them when they're home in August. Anybody willing to do that? I think it would really serve the group if somebody would step up and press one on your keypad and have a little fun. This is the play acting that you've always wanted to do, and you'll have a chance to play the role of yourself 10 minutes from now. Anyone? It's real easy. I'm talking here. I don't have special qualifications. I just open my mouth and words come out. You can do it too. Okay, how about, there's one. Who was that? Peggy. Oh, you're so wonderful and brave. Thank you, Peggy.
Well, Dan,
can you hear me, Peggy?
So sorry. Yes, and I'm just feeling so sorry for you for not getting any
Oh, no.
I just couldn't let you hang out there any longer.
Thank you. You're saving me.
Okay.
You're saving me. I appreciate it, and I think it'll serve a lot of people. Okay, so I'd love to start a telephone role play with the words ring, ring. If you'd go ahead and say ring, ring, I'll answer the phone.
Ring, ring.
Good afternoon, Senator. Oh, which are your senators? Brown. Senator Brown's office.
Hi, this is Peggy Hanna. I'm a constituent from Springfield, Ohio, and also a member of the Clark County Peace Alliance. And I'm calling to see, since the Senate's going to be on recess in August, we would really appreciate an opportunity to meet face-to-face with Senator Brown. So I'm wondering if you could help me make that happen sometime in August when he's home?
Thank you for calling. Let me put you on the line to his scheduler. Can you hold for a moment?
Oh, okay, sure. Thank you.
Sure. Hello, this is Dan.
Oh, hi. My name's Peggy Hanna, and I'm from Springfield, Ohio, or constituent of Senator Brown's, and a member of the Clark County Peace Alliance. I just said this all to the other person. I should have been quieter, I guess. But anyways, I'm just calling to see if a few members of our group couldn't meet face-to-face with Senator Brown while he's somewhere in the state. And quite frankly, we can move. If he can't come down close to Springfield, we'd be glad to go anywhere. We feel so impassionate about the Youth Promise Act that we want to talk to him face-to-face. And I do want to say, you may not realize, but he is was a co-sponsor for this last year, and we're hoping that he'll sign on as an initial sponsor this year.
Okay. Well, I'd be happy to process your request for you. I can send you a schedule of his town hall meetings during the month, but we also have a form that I'd like you to fill out to request a meeting. Will you send me an email to request that form?
Oh, sure, absolutely. And I really would like to see that town hall list. That sounds very promising, too.
Okay. When I get your email, I will reply with the town hall list. If you would send it to at brown.senate.gov.
Right. Okay, got it.
And then we'll be in touch with that list, and you can go ahead and let us know what your meeting is going to be about and fill out that form, and we'll be glad to see what we can do.
Okay, and about how long would I need to wait for getting a response from you before, if I need to nag you at all, you know?
Thanks for asking. You should get a response within 3 or 4 days. Feel free to write back if you don't hear within 3 or 4 days.
Oh, that's super. Thanks so much.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks for calling.
All righty, bye.
Okay, bye. So, Peggy, as usual, I'd love to do a quick self-debrief. So what did you do there that you're glad you did? What was right on the money that you want to remember for next time?
Well, I'm glad I mentioned that it wasn't just me, and I'm glad I mentioned the Youth Promise Act and finally remembered to, because I don't know if the scheduler knows that he was a co-sponsor. So I might have gotten a little wordy, but the thing I should have just asked for the scheduler in the first place. I was thinking I was getting the scheduler.
It's hard to know. You think
yeah, right.
Fine in that regard. Yeah, I think I'd also say it's valuable, and I'm sure Bob would echo this, that you said that you're a constituent right off the bat. That's important. That opens a particular door. I like that you said you were a member of the Peace Alliance. And you were very clear that you were interested in a face-to-face meeting. Thanks for blazing the trail. And hope folks have taken a little bit of note about what that can be like and how simple it can be.
Dan, can I mention one thing, too?
Sure.
Here in Ohio, they tell us we have to do it online first, and then we hear from them, and then we do the follow-up. But you could call just to do what we did, and they'll direct you, to the online thing. So,
exactly. I guess. Exactly. The key thing is to make contact, and you know what you want to do, so they'll help you through the system.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. What I want to request for you to do, for everybody on this call to do, right after this call, is to actually go ahead and make this call to your House member's office and to your two senators' offices. And you'll probably leave a message because it's Saturday, but you can get through their office. Here's the number for the congressional switchboard if you want to call the D.C. office. It's, for those of you who can take notes, you can look this up online. It's 202-224-3121. And just go ahead after this call. My request is just take 10 or 15 minutes and call each of those offices. Just call the switchboard and say, "I'd like to speak to Senator so-and-so's office." I'd like to, and then you may end up leaving a message, and they'll get back to you. Or if they don't, you can follow up. And I did this yesterday with my member of Congress, and what helped me to follow through. Let me cut to the chase. What helped me follow through was the fact that I had told Sam and Lori, Sam our coach, and Lori my colleague, that I was going to go ahead and do that, and then I would check back with them afterwards. I mean, it helps that I'm motivated, that I care about reducing incarceration and promoting peace building. What really turned the trick, as it were, was the fact that I had solidarity with people who were waiting to hear from me, and I said I was going to do it right then, because as soon as I got off the phone with them, the excuses started coming up. I could do it later, it's not really that important, you know, and even fear started coming up once I got closer to the phone, like, am I really going to try to meet with them in person? You know, does this matter? Are they going to pay attention to me? You know, do they think it matters? But I basically walked through that, partly because I had somebody waiting for me to connect back with them in solidarity with me in this effort. So I encourage you to use the buddy system. Check in with somebody. If you've got an action team, then that can be your support system. And say, we're going to do this. We're going to make these meetings scheduled. We're going to inquire about this and check back with each other to hold each other to it and to hold each other's hands virtually going through this. So I went ahead and I did it. I contacted my house member, and afterwards I felt powerful. And I sent Sam a note about it, and he said, great, now how about Senator Cardin? So I went ahead and contacted my senators. So we all need a little support here and there, and that is the power of teamwork. So I'd like to support you all, whether you have an action team or not right now. I'm going to do a little poll, okay? Press 1 on your keypad if you're willing to hang up from this call and immediately dial that number, 202-224-3121, and ask to connect to your house member's office and leave a message for the scheduler about meeting with your house member in the district in August. So if you're willing to hang up from this call, go ahead and make that call. Inquire about a possibility of an in-person meeting in August. Press 1 if you're willing to do that, and then I'll be here in virtual solidarity with you. I'm seeing a couple of ones lighting up. These are the steps, little baby steps, which taken together change policy and create the kind of world that we're aiming for. So I encourage all of you to take an extra 10 minutes today after this call is over and go ahead and do that. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ones. Good. That's a great start. I'm going to put those hands down. And just 2, 6. Terrific. Let me make a note of who those people are, because I'm going to actually be here and do the same kind of accountability that Sam did for me. So bear with me just a moment. Okay, and put those hands down, and then if you are willing to send me a note when you've gone ahead and done it, just to let me know that you've done it, then go ahead and press 2 on your keypad. This is a question. Would you go ahead and make that call, and then after it's done, just send me a one-sentence note saying, hey, I left a message, or I had a great conversation with the operator, or it was interesting, I got this happened. Okay. Making notes. Okay. All right. Gotcha. Thank you so much. Thanks for playing. Thanks for showing up and playing with a lot of heart and with a lot of care. Diving back to the agenda, I think we're just about at the end of our time and the end of our business. So I look forward to hearing from the bunch of you. And in fact, more people pressed 2 than pressed 1. So I think some of you actually decided, yes, I want to play in this game. I want to go ahead and make this happen with this group. So I think we're up at 7 or 8 folks who are going to be doing this. And this is movement. This is action. If anyone is interested to join a team, if you're not already on one, or to lead a team or learn more, stay on the line when we're done, and we'll be glad to chat with you. And again, we'll be hosting an action team orientation call the first Thursday of next month, and would love to hear all of you and your friends on that call, anybody who's interested to learn more and get involved. I have a closing quote, and I thank you all for joining us, and then I'll open up the lines. It might take me an extra second longer than it usually takes Matthew, because I'm running the dashboard and talking at the same time. But the closing quote I have is from James Neal Hollingworth, who apparently was a rock band manager in the 60s, who said, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important. So now I'm selecting everyone and opening up your mics, and you should be open, and I'll say thank you so much and have a beautiful weekend, and you can say whatever you like to each other.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hi, Peggy Hannah.